From the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
I don't know. Maybe I did.
Could be. Anyways, welcome to the program. It is Labor Day, where practically I can tell hardly anybody's listening because things are responding so quickly on Blog Talk Radio here. It's unreal. Even the delay is short. Everything's working right. Oh, my God, I said that. It means it's going to crash. But hopefully one way to test it and make sure that people are out there are listening is by giving us a phone call. And you can do that by picking up that little device or calling us on Skype. Skype, you just push the little button, or you can call us at 646-721-9887. I'm Robin, that's Cliff, and you can join us right now.
Right now. And by the way, Skype is, I don't know how easy it is to do things on Skype. I mean, what little button? You said you can click, just click the little button. What little button?
When you go to blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, there's a little button up there that says call with Skype.
Oh, well, I'm looking at Skype itself and trying to decide what little button I click.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It says right there on our KRBN page on Blog Talk Radio, call in to speak with the host, and it gives the phone number, which is 646-721-9887, or the little Skype symbol if you happen to have Skype installed in your computer.
Very good. Very good. I have Skype installed on my computer. I like Skype. It does very well, as a matter of fact. It also creates a problem at times, but then most of the time it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I could, which is kind of cool when minutes from your cell phone. But in either case, you can use that 467. If you happen to be hundreds of listeners that listens to us on the archives, you can still participate in the program by sending us an email, talk@rbnradio.com. And quite a few things on today. Quite a few things on stack stuff. And a lot of times, stack of stuff is another falls off the table, and we talk about anything. But for the most part,
I've got one to hit you with. We've got to, our country has great military and great all these things, but we've got a little problem with the Secret Service. The Secret Service is supposed to be one of the high echelon, upper echelon of military. I guess they're sort of military police, but Secret Service, well, one of the Secret Service trucks was stolen in downtown Detroit. It's a U-Haul truck that had all the equipment in it for Joe Biden, who was appearing in Detroit. He's going to be there, well, today he's there. But right from under their own nose, somebody snatched the truck from the hotel on Saturday, and they just took it right. Well, it was late Sunday, early Sunday, rather. It's a 14-foot U-Haul and parked outside the Weston Book Cadillac Hotel. And it was loaded with stuff, but no military, no weapons or anything like that in it. They wanted to tell right away that it didn't have that. But they stole all the equipment and stuff for his speech. And so obviously they had to go find new stuff or rent stuff or whatever. But the Secret Service, I mean, they're, if anybody was supposed to be watching things, if anybody's supposed to have a handle on things, it's the Secret Service. And here they stole the truck right out from underneath the nose. I mean, I just thought it was kind of funny.
Whose speech was it for?
Joe Biden.
Biden. Yeah, those damn Republicans, they'll resort to anything.
Really? No kidding. But that I just thought that was funny that the Secret Service, of all people, I mean, they should be able to keep an eye on things. I mean, why didn't they have one person? I mean, of all the people that we have lined up working for the Secret Service, and why didn't they just leave one person there watching the truck or something? It's just
ridiculous. I could just see that. I just seen the report to their bosses. Hey, boss, you know how good we are at disguising our vehicles so they kind of blend?
Well, it blended real good.
Blended real good. Anyways. I know
how that, because I've had a U-Haul trailer stolen from me because somebody saw it sitting there and thought it was empty and decided to take it back to U-Haul. And it was my trailer, and I had it rented. And it's really kind of upsetting because you come out after doing a gig, shall we say, at a club or something, and you're out to go get the truck and load it up and take the equipment home, and it's gone. It's just simply gone. And then you find out Monday or whatever that it was U-Haul that stole it. They saw it sitting there and decided it shouldn't sit there. So they cut the chain, and took it home and left me without.
Hey, I have an answer to your Secret Service truck disappearing.
Yeah.
Thanks to our chatter in the chat room, which, by the way, you can join us there. Live Truth Radio. He says they're all hooking up with some hookers.
Okay.
the truth be known. So speaking of truth, we've got some audio from Clint Eastwood on the RNC convention. And first, do you feel like some cookies?
Mm-hmm.
That's a salute, and you're supposed to kind of elaborate with that.
I was taking a drink of coffee while you asked that, and so I couldn't answer.
Coffee and cookies.
Chewing all over the keyboard.
With that said.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Dancing Dog Cookies, available at select stores in Lane County, Oregon, are available online at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Page 2.
Oh, my God, you have all Harvey feedback. Flashbacks.
Yeah, that's true. No, this is page 2 is where you order the Dancing Dog Cookies, not page 1.
Oh, page
2. I'm just trying to help people. I mean, I don't want them to get lost.
That's true. DancingDogCookies.com. Check it out. They're pretty kind of cool. I'm assuming you watched the RNC or convention.
I certainly did, almost all of it, and I watched the different speeches that didn't get put on national TV. I did watch the national TV speeches as well, every one of them. And the one speech that I wanted to mention to pay attention to and the person to pay attention to was Rand Paul. I mean, he delivered an excellent speech. He had the audience on their feet three or four or five times during the speech, but for different reasons. One of the reasons was because he mentioned Ron Paul. Rand Paul and Ron Paul don't necessarily are not synonymous by any way at all, because they do believe differently, they do things differently, but they are they do recognize each other as far as friends are concerned. I mean, Rand Paul is not, separated from his father. He just doesn't believe in doing exactly what his father does. But he does very well, and I really like to listen to him, and he speaks very well. He speaks extremely well. I liked his speech better than this Christie guy. I wasn't impressed with him at all, so that's my opinion. And the Rand Paul guy, I think you better look at and pay attention to Rand Paul in the coming years, because I think he's going to be a real contender for president.
Yeah, well, one thing I liked about Rand Paul's speech is when he referred to Obama as a tattoo president. He says, like a big tattoo, it seemed cool when you were young, but later on that decision doesn't look so good, and you wonder, what was I thinking? And the worst part is that you're going to have to explain it to your kids.
Yeah. It's interesting the way he can talk and express himself, because who would think of that kind of a thing to say at a national convention?
Well, it's a good analogy when you think about it in a way. I mean, the hope and change, I mean, a lot of us fell for it.
Well, it's true. He had, I think, good intentions when he first started out, but he's had 4 years, well, 3.5 years, whatever, to accomplish something. And the first couple of years of that time, the Democrats ran everything, and he didn't accomplish anything. He was busy working on things that I don't think he had intended to do. I think it was stuff that he was given to him by the Democratic National whatever. And it's too bad that he listened to them as well as he did, because I don't think he went the right direction at all. I do really feel he kind of wasted a lot of time. And I'm tired of his wasting time. I want to see somebody else in there to waste time and see if they can accomplish something. Because, let's face it, Obama had no training. He had no training. He was not a businessman. He'd never even worked at a job. I mean, he wasn't paid by the federal government. I mean, he's had no training whatsoever. I don't want to say even
well,
as being.
That's not true. He did work at a Baskin Robbins.
He did?
Yeah.
Maybe
that was his training, is handing out ice cream. All 31 flavors.
I'm going to be quiet about that. Okay, that's he may have had a job, but he didn't have any training as far as anything worthwhile that could be used. Romney has built jobs, he has built businesses, he has reformed businesses, and he's done a lot of things, and he is so much more qualified for doing almost anything than Obama was, in my opinion, in my humble opinion.
Well, and do you think that in the chat room, I bet it was a promotional ice cream as well, free to the public.
Very good.
Very good. I think that good one. I think that, of course, my opinion. I think that a lot of people are losing interest in politics altogether. Like, they're saying that the viewership, for example, on the major five, is down considerably. NBC down by 3.5 million, ABC 3 million, CBS, MSNBC 2 million, Fox down by 1.5 million. And when I talk to people on my travels, a few of them are really interested in it, in politics and what's happening. Others are just kind of like, why should I even care?
I'm going to have to disagree with them. The one that's down the least is the one that's carrying the most of the presidential information, and that's Fox, because they're on the air with it all the time. The three major networks, or four major networks, wherever they are now, are not really carrying. They've only got 1 hour, set aside for the actual convention each night. And they, in almost every instance, it ran over a little bit, and they did stay with it, so they stayed with it for an hour and a half, effectively. But they only scheduled it for 1 hour. So, you know, that really had nothing to do with their if their watchership, or whatever you want to call it, was down, it had very little to do with politics at all. It had to do with the fact that this is the summertime, and their viewership is going to be down, and they aren't putting anything on. The new shows are going to be starting next week, and so it may come back up again. So I don't go by that at all. And the one that wasn't down very much was the one actually that stuck with the convention and did more about it than anything. So how do you hit that?
Now, that's a good point. I mean, Fox did seem to have better coverage on it. And, of course, you can go to C-SPAN to get the full thing. But, I don't know, it's kind of interesting, you know, talking to people about the RNC or the politics in general. And what's also interesting, too, in my opinion, about the numbers is the people that are supporting each candidate, how they're running kind of neck and neck or really pretty close, that I find very few Obama supporters, and the ones that I do find, one of them wants him in there because of the health care, and the other one actually made a good point, is that I think there's two Supreme Court justices that are coming up for retirement or to be replaced.
I don't know. I don't follow the Supreme.
Well, since they're the appointees, you know, he made a good point about that, but as far as I know, Romney hasn't talked about who he'd want in, or maybe it's too early to have that type of discussion.
Well, I think, you know, it's before he's really even gotten into the position of knowing he's going to be there. I think it is way ahead of time to talk about who would appoint to the Supreme Court or anything like that. I think even if he had thought about it, and I doubt if he has, I'm sure that he'll have plenty of time to think about it and plenty of time to review who was in the running. I don't know if people submit their names or how they do that, but he'll have plenty of time.
Yeah, or whatever retired lawyer. I don't know. I don't know the process either. I haven't looked into that deep. But kind of interesting. I listened to most of the RNC convention myself, and they did some pretty good speeches. I like the one that Clinton and his invisible friend were talking about. I got a few audios about that.
Well, who and his invisible friend, not Clinton?
He had a chair on stage, and he was pretending that it was Obama that he was talking to.
But that wasn't Clinton.
I mean, Clinton. Eastwood, sorry, Clint. Clinton. Yes. Thank you.
Well, it's amazing that Clint would. Oh, I see where you got a Clint. Okay. Clint Eastwood is a very popular person. He really. And one of the things that I saw that I noticed on that particular speech is he didn't use a teleprompter. He didn't use any information. He may have glanced down a couple of times at notes or something. I don't even know if he did that. He glanced down a couple of times, but I don't know if he was reading notes or not. It's just kind of all he probably sat at home and thought about it for days and days and days before he did it. But whatever it was all spur of the moment, impromptu or whatever you want to call it. It was very good. He did have a thought in mind, because he thought to bring the chair in and speak to the chair.
Well, when they're actually House recognizes the chair. Yep, it's a chair.
Okay. All right. I get it. Whatever.
Anyway. When Eastwood, as I also got reminded by the chat room, when Eastwood was talking to the invisible Obama, how do you handle promises that you made?
Mr. President, how do you handle promises that you made when you were running for election, and how do you handle it? I mean, what do you say to people? People were wondering. You don't have it. Okay. Well, I know even some of the people in your own party were very disappointed when you didn't close Gitmo. And I thought, closing Gitmo, why close that? We spent so much money on it. But I thought maybe it's an excuse. What do you mean, shut up? Okay. I thought it was just because somebody had a stupid idea of trying terrorists in downtown New York City. Maybe that was it.
Ouch.
Really. Because that's it hits right at home, I'll tell you. He really hit it right on the head when he hit that one, I'll tell you. He was funny.
He was funny, but I think the phrase is bitch slap.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad that he is so he's had the stroke, and he talks like I do, I think, sometimes. But he is very good at putting things together and making a way to get it to the people, and so that they'll listen to it. I mean, by having a little bit of a humor in the whole thing, he can make a point much better that way.
Yeah, I agree. Clint Eastwood talking about Obama's target date to bring everybody home.
I think you mentioned something about having a target date for bringing everybody home. And you give that target date, and I think Mr. Romney asked the only sensible question, and he said, why are you giving the date out now? Why don't you just bring them home tomorrow morning? And I thought, yeah, I'm not going to shut up. It's my turn. So anyway, we're going to have to have a little chat about that.
Chat about that, because you know it's really interesting, because you don't tip people off what you're going to do ahead of time as to what you're going to do, and we seem to be doing that a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, because he was supposed to be the mystery guest and everything, and like you said, for being the fact that this is non-scripted, he had a stroke. He's doing pretty good, but you can almost picture him talking to Obama in that chair.
Yeah, really.
You know, as our in the chat room says, that he took an old actor's trick of putting a chair on stage rather than looking at the audience. Yeah, it was a cool effect, and it really worked. And
I don't know. I'm not an old actor.
No, you're an old broadcaster.
Yeah, but I never talk to chairs. I just talk to microphones. They're just as bad. They don't talk back.
No, they just send nasty emails.
Fortunately, I'm old. I was before emails were a big thing, because they hadn't. I mean, at the radio stations that I worked at, most of the time emails were not even a part of the picture, because it was before emails. But even when they were, the people hadn't gotten to the point that they felt that they could be a part of my program by emailing me. They probably could have, because I used to, but I guess I never did give my actual email out over the air, so that's why I didn't want.
Well, and one of your tricks too, when you were working at one of the broadcast stations, that if you have any complaints from management, you gave them a phone number. Unfortunately, the phone number was not your radio station.
Yeah, really. Yeah. No, be good.
Clip number three. In the same speech, Obama has a message for Romney.
What do you want me to tell Romney? I can't tell him to do that. That can't do that to himself. You're absolutely crazy. You're getting as bad as Biden. Of course, we all know Biden is the intellect of the Democratic Party. So, just a kind of a grin with a body behind it, you know. It's kind of a thing.
Again, ouch.
Really? I wonder about Biden because, you know, I when they were running for office and when they were doing different things and on their own and not a part of the same party and doing the things together, I thought Biden was pretty smart, but he's really done some pretty dumb things in his career since he's been vice president. I just wonder if he isn't doing it on purpose.
Well, when you what was it, the NAACP that he spoke with, and he started talking in like an old style Southern accent, you know, and talking about slavery or chains or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was pretty low, you know.
I don't know. I just it's possible he's whatever. I don't know what he's really like. Of course, you never know what anybody's going to be like until they actually get in there. At least he had a lot more experience than Mr. Obama did. I just can't believe I was taken in by that Obama thing. Anyway, I voted for him.
And Obama is a used car salesman. He will tell. He can figure out his audience, and tell the audience what they want to hear and get them all riled up. Unfortunately, there are there's a lot of people out there that all they heard is what they wanted to hear. Like Obamacare, when it was first announced, the hospitals, people are lining up the hospitals for their free medical. That wasn't what was said. Nobody said it was going to be free. There's people that were lining up for their free Obama money. And when asked, where's the money coming from? They said, well, Obama.
Well, and he did. Mr. Obama did hide it. I mean, he literally hid a lot of the money that was being taken out and used for Obamacare in the bill itself. That's the one thing that I've noticed, that there were several times that he actually literally passed a law or a bill or whatever you want to call it at midnight on the very last night, so that nothing could be done about it. I mean, people were not even aware of what was happening. People were in bed asleep, and he'd do things. In my opinion, he was just plain sneaky about it and has been all along. And I find that a major problem, that he has to be that sneaky about what he's doing, because he has to be aware, obviously, if he's going to try to be that sneaky, that maybe most of the people don't want that.
Oh, that's true. I mean, if we want sneaky, we'll go to work.
Yeah, we can be sneaky.
I was just speaking of sneaky. Our person in the chat room was mentioning about the rules changes for RNCs, and saying that it's not about the changes themselves, it's the fact that they tried to do these changes at the last minute just to benefit themselves. And what I hate, I'm looking up some information on that right now, what I hate is when you go to these, like Newsmax, for example, GOP rule change spurs protest at RNC, and you're looking at it, and they say the rule change. What's the rule change?
I don't recall.
On a news broadcast, for example, and Metro 57 will cost you more money in the long run. However, people's opinions feel that it should be voted down. Great. What is it? But maybe our caller can kind of fill us in on that. Area code 419. Welcome to the program.
Hello there. This is Brian Lang with Live Truth Radio. You're asking about the rule changes. You don't know the rule changes. I don't know of them specifically either. I just want to put that out there. But I know of Michelle Malkin's article and all the feedback and what – I mean, we're not the lawyers, you know. We don't know all these different changes that they try and put on. But do you know of any of the changes?
No.
The RNC changes? Do you know what they tried to do at all?
I watched it and I didn't hear anything about it. I mean, it is the Republican National Convention, and they can make the rules to be whatever they want them to be. They can change them if they want to.
At any time?
Well, sure, because it's their game. I mean, you know, if it's my game, I can make the rules. And, of course, you know, whether those rule changes affecting, I mean, if it's affecting Republicans and the Republicans are upset about it, all I have to do is say something.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think Evans Burns is like
I'm sorry. There's been many Republicans. I'll just shut up.
Oh, go ahead.
But, Leah, the changes that they tried to make, the very first change, I guess there's a rule that you have to have 5 states in order to be nominated. Okay, what they tried to do is make it 10 states. Okay, and that got shot down. It got shot down by one vote. But then they tried something else, and they inevitably what it was taking delegates away from the other participants, as in Ron Paul. Now, myself, I don't care if it's Ron Paul, Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum, whomever that these delegates got taken away from. The fact of the matter is that they wait until the last minute. They do it just simply to benefit Romney's camp. Overall, the RNC, to benefit Romney's camp. And that's what disgusted me about it. It's like the bully pushing around the little guy, you know, and making him insignificant. And it's completely wrong. That's why you had – did you hear that the Ron Paul people walked out of the RNC?
I did get in on that, and the Ron Paul people walked out. The Ron Paul people walked out because they didn't mention the Ron Paul votes on the national podium, okay? They only mentioned Romney's votes. They didn't mention any of the other votes. But – that and I don't see why they couldn't have mentioned the votes. That seems to me like they could have. It was, you know, it's a matter of 3 seconds each time they did it, because there weren't that many of them. The fact is, to change anything, it didn't make any difference, because Ron Paul simply didn't get that many votes. He only got like 65 votes, thousands of votes, and he didn't really accomplish anything. So as far as the Ron Paul people walking out is concerned, they made their position known in the beginning that they were going to do that if they didn't mention them on the stage. I mean,
well, it's not just mentioning them. I'm sorry, but it's not just mentioning. They actually took delegates away. They actually did that within Maine. He had Maine wrapped up, I believe, Iowa. He definitely had Minnesota wrapped up, which they didn't have a chance to mention anything else but Ron Paul with Minnesota. And Minnesota was doing the righteous thing. And yes, I got to admit, I've been sitting here as a Ron Paul supporter, but not, you know, die hard into the whole election process with him and the support. I just feel that he had the better message, the better idea to share with the American people rather than anybody else.
I will agree with that. I like what Ron Paul had to say, and other than the fact that he did go a little overboard in almost everything, if he'd moderated it a little bit in most things, I think he could have gotten a long ways. I would like to, again, I'll mention, keep an eye on Rand Paul, because he is a moderate Ron Paul to a certain extent, and I like what he had to say as well. So as far as Ron Paul.
I'm sorry. No, you. As far as
no,
you were
ahead.
Saying, you said as far as.
Oh, I was going to say something and I forgot.
Oh, I'm sorry. The as far as Rand Paul, as far as I'm concerned, has slit his own throat. Going against his father the way he did. But the only thing is that, you know, I don't want to sound like a kook on here, but these are things that have been reported to be true, have been reported to be absolute fact. That, are you guys familiar with Bilderberg?
No.
No.
Neither one of you? The Bilderberg,
nope.
Bilderberg group, they had their meeting this year. And right after that, I mean, during the meeting that they had some people that were inside there that overheard some of these Bilderberg people say that they want to just off Ron Paul. Okay? And then the very, like, 2 days later, that's when Rand Paul said that he was going to support Romney. It's as if they got word to Rand Paul that they were going to kill Ron Paul, his father, and they made some sort of deal with Rand Paul. And in reality, if you're threatening my father, I'm going to come after you more. Instead, he caved in, and I just don't respect Rand for that. I just don't. He is an up-and-coming Republican. You can see that. You can feel that with the things and that he says, but I think he cut his own throat.
Well, have you watched what he has to say for very long?
Rand? Yeah.
Because, I mean, he hasn't changed his opinion. He hasn't changed his ideas. He hasn't changed what he has to say for months and months. I mean, that's not something that just happened. So I don't know, but I agree with that business about being intimidated by someone or something. I don't see it myself. Rand Paul has always had a different opinion of how to do things than Ron Paul does, even when he was, you know,
for
years
instance,
young. Almost everything.
For instance,
his opinion about military has been different. He hasn't been so busy about bringing absolutely everybody home and home right away. He hasn't been as completely set on changing the tax code and the tax system. He's interested in changing it a little bit, but not completely eliminating it like Ron Paul does. I mean, almost everything he's been moderate as compared to radical in almost all these instances.
Really? I watched. Did you listen to him speak when he was down there in Arizona for the RNC?
Yes, absolutely.
He made a speech there, and he was talking then about the platforms that and you could see this during the debates with Ron Paul. Ron Paul is about liberty. Ron Paul is about freedom. Ron Paul is about the Constitution. Okay, and you could see it during the debates where all these other guys, Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, Romney, all these other ones that were running, would pick up on those items that Ron Paul has stood for since he's been in the Congress forever, okay? And they'd start touting that, okay? Rand Paul has touted that as well. I don't know where you get more moderate. He's talked about liberty. He's talked about the Federal Reserve. He said that they made motions within the government to audit the Fed, and he was taught in that as well, that the Republican Party, they have accomplished something within the last year of what Ron Paul and Ron Paul's platform has talked about forever, auditing the Fed, the wars, gold standard, you know, all these different things that he said that there's things in place or in process within the Congress, within the Senate, to do what exactly Ron Paul has been talking about forever.
Hmm.
Now, you didn't catch that during the speech.
Well, when you were talking about a speech, it was 4 years ago. No, I didn't.
No, not 4 years ago. I'm just talking about the one in Arizona and also the with Hannity. I think it was with Hannity. They had an interview with as well that the platform that the Republicans are taking are going with the ideas of his father. And he's very proud of that, that they're accomplishing some things within the Congress and Senate, or trying to accomplish things within the Congress and the Senate that are right along Ron Paul's platform, you know, auditing the Fed, you know, keeping them accountable. The gold standard. What, a couple things, a couple other things. I can't remember. I think it was the wars as well.
Well, you know, on that note, something that just hit me is that, like it did with Herman Cain, you know, how they kept having all these women come out of the woodwork to discredit him. All the news, well, not all the news media, but a lot of the media had been discrediting Ron Paul, treating him as a joke. And I wonder if that's related, you know, as a way to draw attention away from Ron Paul.
Yeah, they've been doing that ever since. I mean, they've been doing that, pushing him away as though he is insignificant, but yet taking up his platform on their own talking points, you know? And that's what has made me really, I mean, I'm not a poor loser, as some people put out there to say of the Ron Paul people. I say truthfully that if it had been anybody else, Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, Michelle Bachmann, any of those, if it would have happened to them where they take away their delegates and they try and move it to where, see, they knew that Ron Paul had five states already. They knew that he had five states. So what they tried to do is make it 10 states. Then they tried to make it 8 states since the 10 states didn't go through. All right. And just to manipulate the system for their own benefit was ludicrous, ridiculous, and absolutely disgusting that I witnessed. But as far as the whole RNC, I tell you that Mayor Mia Love knocked it out of the park. I really liked her. That was the, yep. You know, that's just going on with the RNC, but the rules just disgusted me. And Rand Paul, as we were, I was just saying, I think he has slit his throat. I really do.
Well, I will disagree because I watched the speech. Now you keep saying it was Arizona. I was impression it was Tampa, but whatever. I watched it and I came away with it really, really enthused. I thought, I think you better watch out what Rand Paul is going to do in the future, because I think he's probably got a long ways to go, and I don't see at all him not running for president before long. He's not going to do it now because it's, well, I don't know if his father's going to run again or not, but he's already mentioned that he wouldn't run because his father was. But I think once his father's out of the way and not going to run anymore, you're going to see a lot from him.
Just might. But I don't know how far he'd go with that. I really don't. I don't know. If there's a lot of Americans that feel the same way that I do, you evidently don't. And by the way, as far as that, the broadcast of him, I think it was simulcast what they were showing. Yes, the RNC was in Tampa. We all know that. But I think he was in Arizona making his speech. If you look it up, that's where it was.
He was right there on the stage. The one that I saw, he was right there on the stage with the people.
Well, one thing's for sure that you can tell when somebody is really a threat by, like I said, the attacks that are put against them. Just like way back in little guy with big ears a long time ago. Perot, Ross Perot. You know, how he rallied the people up, and both sides of the aisle were a little bit concerned over that. You know, they talk a good talk, but really they don't want anybody to get involved.
They don't want anybody besides their team that's on their team to be involved in the whole process. And the whole thing is that both these teams, the Democrat and the Republicans, both of them, and I've been a registered Republican forever, okay? Mm-hmm. Voted since I was 18. I was in the military, and I was so proud to be asked to be a presidential honor guard for Ronald Reagan. It was incredible. And I've been, again, a Republican my whole life. But I've witnessed within my whole life that both Republicans and Democrats have screwed the people over time and time again.
Oh, yes,
and
absolutely.
The change that we need is not just within the Republican or Democrat. We need real change within the whole two-party system. We need some real Americans. I've never looked at it, but from what I've seen, how many congressmen and senators were former lawyers?
Oh,
I don't know the numbers.
I would say at least three-quarters.
Huh?
I'd say at least three-fourths of them.
Oh, yeah. And what's the joke that actually applies? Like, how can you tell when a lawyer's been lying? When he opens up his mouth.
Well,
you know,
see, that's something I've said all along. We should have some sort of a law about if you lie, if you're caught in an absolute lie, that you should be able not to run, that they should revoke any chance that you have of running ever again because you lie. I mean, it seems to be absolutely rampant. In order to run for anything, you got to lie about it. And that I just am tired of that. That's really, I think, that's not what our country is about, is lying to people.
Yeah, they've all misled the American people time and time again throughout many years. You know, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. You know, define sexual relations. Come on. You know, all these different lies. I just took Clinton for instance because it's more well known. But I mean, look at what's happening with Obama right now. And everything through the past 3.5 years, he lied outright just a year ago, April, by putting out that birth certificate. Why is it such a loony thought to even say, hey, we got to find out the truth about this? You know, when all he does is keep on siding away from it and siding away from it.
Well, and why aren't we learning from that mistake? And, okay, I mean, it's too late to worry about the birth certificate thing now, but what about making it a requirement for future offices?
Well,
when you think of the consequence. Well, I mean, it's too late because, you know, the presidency is almost over, this term. But, you know, and of course, if it actually did turn out that he was not eligible, that'd be a huge embarrassment that they don't want. But... that's what I'm saying. It's too late now, but you could make it that. I mean, just like you and I, we go apply for a job. We have to prove that we have the right to work in the United States. But apparently when you're elected office, you know, like even local here, one of our friends who's a former Lane County Commissioner, she didn't have to show that she had the right to work in the United States to take that office.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
to kind of get back to what you're saying, about your military, by the way, thank you for your service. Since, you know, it seems like the word patriot or patriotic has become a dirty word, in my opinion.
Yeah, look at the two Marines there. One was an active duty Marine. Just this past March, he got dismissed from the military because of his Facebook posts. Another one just recently, that Brandon Robb, was detained under, I believe, the NDAA, because of his Facebook posts, and put in psychiatric treatment for psychiatric evaluation, and then released. They're coming down on military left and right. Well, who's the number one terrorist threat for Obama and America? Military, former veterans.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, Obama. I don't know. I haven't researched. Resources to make sure it's factual, but the bin Laden thing about putting out the secret files so they can make a movie about it, and I guess the SEALs teams had to change their some of their operations because it gave away too many insights on how they do their business.
Well, the simple fact that I was in the military, and when I was inducted into the military, I was told that you're not supposed to, you know, do things into the public. Like, you're not supposed to go out and make speeches. You're not supposed to go out and do Facebook type things that you're talking about the military. That's a no-no.
Well, it wasn't about what he was doing in the service. It was about his personal views. That's both those Marines that they put on the Facebook is about their personal views. The one guy that I think, the one that was dismissed from the service, he was actually, what was it, a tea party for the for veterans, for tea party for military or whatever. That's what he was managing and being the person of the Facebook, managing that Facebook page. And they put out personal thoughts, you know, opinions, and he was dismissed from the service for doing so. Even veterans, even people that are in the military, they still have a voice. They still have a First Amendment right. They can't give out what Obama has given out to the filmmakers, but they can espouse their personal opinions. That's a First Amendment right. Everybody that is an American, even military, has a First Amendment right.
Right.
Well, I don't recall having the opportunity to do that. I was under the impression when I was in the military that some of my rights were eliminated during that particular time. There were certain things that we couldn't do that because, you know, I understand that they're a First Amendment right, but I didn't feel I could do things like that.
Well,
like the old saying, loose lips sink ships, you know, and it's one thing to have an opinion, but it sounds like in some respects, like again with the movie deal, that they went a little bit too far.
Yeah, that's why the SEAL team are going all in uproar. I mean, that they actually gave out classified information to these movie makers. The Obama administration, Obama being the lead, gave out classified information to these movie makers. Now, right there, that is not just a crime. It's treasonous, is it not?
I would say so.
No, I
would say so. Of course, I'm beyond believing anything Obama says. I'm beyond, to my opinion, Obama should be removed from office immediately. About the best we can do is wait 90 days or whatever it is and remove him that way. But I definitely believe Obama has overstepped his bounds in almost every instance. And almost everything, when he makes a speech or almost everything out of his mouth, is a lie. He twists it or turns it somewhere or another, and a lot of it he doesn't even bother to twist and turn. He just flat lies about it.
Absolutely,
well,
he
does. That's a problem with our system. Like you say, that they can say anything that we want to hear to get elected. Then once in, unless they actually create a verifiable treasonous act, you can't get rid of them. And under our system, an impeachment is so clumsy, it doesn't really work. That's why I say we should borrow a little bit off Parliament and have a system where we can do a vote of no confidence, because in the 21st century, things can happen so quickly that by the time we do impeach the president, so much damage can be done.
But last year, and correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, last year I think it was Pete Sessions that brought in the articles of impeachment for Obama. And it seems like it did not go anywhere, even knowing there has been plenty of evidence that he should be impeached. I mean, just with the birth certificate alone is enough to impeach this man.
Well, the problem is that it used to be, like getting back to the word patriot, when people ran for office, they did it for the betterment of the country, not to better themselves. And there's been a lot of people lately that have gotten into the office. You know, they start out, you know, as paupers, or, you know, $100,000, $200,000 net worth, and then they became millionaires. And then especially when they find out, like Nancy Pelosi did, you know, with insider trading, that is okay for her because it's listed in the Constitution that she can do that. But Martha Stewart went to jail for the same thing. So just like the Super Committee, we discussed this on this program about all the millions of dollars that were donated to the Super Committee to talk about the budget. Like, why? You know, when did our government come up for sale?
Oh, it has always been. Elections have always.
Go ahead.
I believe elections have for sale. They're extremely expensive because the way we allow them to be done, all this money doesn't have to be spent on advertising and promotion and everything else. The only thing we're doing is making broadcast industry rich with this whole process. My problem is I hear all these lies being distributed by Obama, and I don't believe a word that he says. I don't believe a word that he says in office, out of office, or otherwise. I will have to believe that Romney, of all of the people who have been under the Republican group there, of all of the candidates for any kind of office at all, that he's probably the one I would probably believe the most, I would say.
Well, let's step back and look at this for a little bit. Let's step back and look at this. You have Romney. Do you guys watch all the debates? I watched every one of them.
Yep, so did I.
Okay. Did Romney even win one of those debates?
Well, I didn't say I thought he was good at debating. I didn't say I thought it was good at
public. No.
But
not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Did Romney win any of those debates? In other words, did he present himself as though to be the next president? He didn't, as far as I'm concerned, he didn't win any of those debates because he was too affable. He was too kind to everybody, and he didn't really state facts. Everybody was going against him, was badgering him during the debates on his record, his true record. You know, and they that were badgering him were being just like Ron Paul, put off and, you know, being put to be insignificant, you know, pushed them aside. It's like, here's what I'm saying is what I've witnessed here, it looks as though to me is that he was going to be the candidate from the first debate on.
I agree. Another way, it was already pre-recognized.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who made that decision, whether it was the RNC or who it was, but I will agree with that, because I was not going for him at all. I was going for he is the one who, from the beginning, has had the numbers, and whether they were true or not is another question, but he has had the numbers.
Well, let me throw a question out there. Based on all the people that were running, who had the most money?
Well, by far, Romney has the money. But how did he spend it that way?
Don't know. Money buys.
Yeah. See, that's the whole thing that I don't like about this two-party system as well. It just seems like whoever has the most money is there, and that don't make any sense. That's just like playing favorites on a football team. You know, you're back in high school or even college where a person is being played as a favorite rather than the person that has more talent, the person that will benefit the team more is set aside because, hey, it's the good old boy network, and got to play
well,
that favorite.
Did. Exactly, and to add to that, you know, now as you mentioned it, when you think about how this election has been kind of like a circus act in a way, with Donald Trump coming in and doing the tease just to promote his own TV program, Sarah Palin doing the same thing, running around that bus, is like, you know, for what reason? You know, is it a distraction, just teasing? Is it making fun of the whole process? You know, I don't recall any type of election that wasn't taken as non-seriously as this one has been.
I have said it time and time again on the broadcast that it's just a big old show. That's there. The media and the bankers are pushing a certain product in front of the American people, and for that matter, the world. That's what they're doing. They're pushing that product. One being Obama, the other one being Romney. That's who they're, I mean, like I said, from the get-go, I think that from the first debate on, they already knew who the nominee for the Republican Party was going to be. They already made up their minds. And no matter what, that's who it was going to be. And that's why we have Romney there. It just seems that way to me. It's just a feeling that I have, something that I witnessed. I mean, again, he did not win any of those debates. Truths were brought out to him, and everybody that brought those truths out to him were dismissed, or they were pushed aside, bullied, you know. And he was just kept on being propped up, and they're selling that product.
But I want to know who they is.
It's, you know, that they is a good question, is a real good question. But the bankers and the corporations that run this country. And, you know, I always thought that why is this happening? You ask yourself, well, why the hell is this happening within our government? Why the hell are they getting away with this? Why is this guy being propped up as that nominee when he definitely doesn't speak for me? You know, why does this keep on happening within our government? And this guy, just about 2 months ago, he made me realize, and it put everything in perspective. If anybody out there wants to look it up, they can. And I looked it up. This guy brought it up to me. And I did my research. I looked it up. The Act of 1871, it absolutely put everything in perspective. The Act of 1871 did the dirty deed for the reason why our government is the way it is now, why every politician goes to wherever the money is rather than for his constituents, the people, you know?
Is that the Civil Rights Act you're talking about?
No, not the Civil Rights Act. That was considered the KKK Act. It's not the Civil Rights Act. It's just put in Act of 1871. Now you got me going on it now. I just thought of it, but you made me think of it by what we were talking about. And I'm going to – there's another act there. When I looked it up, there's another act there. There's two different acts. One was the Civil Rights Act, and that was considered the KKK Act. But then you have another act, District of Columbia Organic Act of 1871. And you read through that, and I just went, really? Oh, my goodness. You know, this is exactly the reason for all my questions that I have asked myself throughout all these years, why this is happening, why that is happening. It astounded me. It absolutely astounded me and put everything in perspective. Again, it's the District of Columbia Organic Act of 1871. And it'll explain a lot to people. Absolutely.
Interesting. I will go to that and look. I just find it real hard to believe that all of the broadcast media, they seem to be connected and are working as a group for some reason or other. How can they do that? I can't believe that they are being coerced, I believe. I don't know. They have a mind of their own, I would think.
They all have a show to sell to everybody. You know, it's just like within a movie. There was this one that just came out. What is it? It's actually a Clint Eastwood movie, and you keep on seeing the advertisements that are coming out on that. You know, they're selling a product, and they're. It is well known that TV, that medium, TV, can thwart a person's mind to think in different ways, in certain ways, ways that they want you to think, just by the way they word things, just by the way they present it on the TV. And that's what they've been doing. They've just been selling a product this whole time.
Well, I understand that, and I'm quite aware of that. But how do they decide which one to spell? I mean, what product they want? I mean, what's wrong with any one of the nominees, or not nominees, but the people running for president or that were running for president. Why did they decide on Romney and not one of the other ones?
Maybe
my
he makes
personal
a better
feeling?
Topic.
Yeah. Hello?
What?
I mean, how many times has Romney changed his view on everything from abortion to the Federal Reserve to the bailouts to, you know, generally everything as far as just wanting to get in office? He has changed his views considerably time and time again throughout the years, and the clips are there to for everybody to see. He would make a better puppet, would he not?
Well, that's possible.
But, I mean,
well, and our government has been known for a distraction. Whenever there's something serious going on, you can always watch, or you can always bet. I mean, just like with Clinton and the Lewinsky thing, that you know, there's more stuff going on the right hand side. But as a magician's trick is, you know, don't look at what's behind the curtain. Look at my left hand.
Yeah.
Well, even more to the point, I believe that Romney would at least listen to the right people. He has more experience in almost everything. He has knows the right people to call on. I don't think Obama has the right people to call on. He's been listening to the wrong people, and they've been guiding him in the wrong directions because it's really screwed everything up. But at least he has more of an experience in business and can perhaps guide our country through the financial problems that we've gotten.
Well, here's the thing, though. How much power does an individual president actually have when you get right down to it? Supposedly, it's supposed to be the three branches to balance everything out. And the way Obama's been acting, or at least presenting the presidency, it's like a monarchy. But really, literally,
yeah,
how much power does it have?
Well, when he first took office, it was a monarchy or dictatorship, whatever you want to call it, because he and the House and the Senate were all his. They were all Democrats, and he could do no wrong, and yet he was still guided in the wrong direction.
Well, they had to bribe and cheat and lie just to get that Obamacare passed. You know, like Nancy Pelosi, we got to pass it before we see what's in it. You know, but they actually
no, and they passed things at midnight, and then did it midnight at the last minute, so nobody could do anything about it. Nobody knew about it. They were sneaky.
Yep. Yeah, and same thing with the NDAA. You know, he touted that in December, early December, that he wasn't going to sign that because it has that detaining of the American people in there. And he touted that. But then come, while everybody's getting ready for their New Year's Eve party, he's out in Hawaii and signs it, you know, in the auspice of, you know, in the dark, you know, basically. He's out there in Hawaii. Everybody's doing their New Year's Eve deal, and he signs it December 31st of 2011, you know.
Right. That way he doesn't want anything, you know, out in the open. And I don't know that if I absolutely believe that was Obama specifically or did that, or if it was actually the Democratic Party or that particular group of people that are controlling Obama, because I believe there are, that did that. And that's what we've got to change, is that group of people, and make them. And I mean, we could possibly put in the Republican, find a Republican group of people that are just as bad. I don't know, but you can't know until at least you try.
Well, but here's the thing, then. Did you watch the debates? You said you watched the debates.
Yeah.
Then you remember specifically when Romney was asked about the National Defense Authorization Act, he said he would have voted for it.
Well, I don't know what the National Defense Authorization Act is, and what it would be voting for. I'm sorry, I didn't watch it that close, I guess.
Yeah, he absolutely said, and you can look it up. He said I was sitting, I watched every debate, and when he said that, that just led me into his whole character and his whole being. When he said that, yeah, he would have voted for the National Defense Authorization Act, that put a red alert on me. National Defense Authorization Act gives the federal government the authority to detain yourself, myself, everybody on this broadcast and everybody in America that is an American, detain them without any due process of law for however long they want. It don't matter. But they can do it without any due process of law. Absolutely treasonous bill. It's an unconstitutional bill along with Libya, but you know, there's so many unconstitutional things that this president has done. But when Romney said that specifically, that showed me the red alert went up, and I'm going, there's no difference here between Obama and Romney.
What's scary, too, is and when you talk about laws being passed, here's a quick little audio clip that I hope people will remember in the election.
I love these members that get up and say, read the bill. What good is reading the bill if it's 1,000 pages and you don't have 2 days and two lawyers to find out what it means after you read the bill?
And that seems to be prevalent in our House of Representatives now, which is scary because of how, like, the Obamacare, you know, over 2,000 pages of stuff that, like Nancy Pelosi says, you got to pass to know what's in it. We still don't know what all's in it.
Yeah, well, they put so many other things in all these bills. Why not be specific on each bill? You know, this takes care of this, this takes care of that, all separated, all different, and separated by bill numbers. You know, you don't have to have all this other extraneous crap in this bill. But this guy is a perfect example of the way government has been working. You know, they don't want to read it. That's why they do that. They put all that crap in it, and they just put a little fine points in there that they catch on to the representatives, and they say, well, yeah, that sounds good, and I'll just go ahead and pass that. You know, but then you find out the evil.
Finally, the people are going to wake up and realize that the only way we can change any of this is to fire them all. And we're going to have to do that, and we're going to have to keep doing that until we get the right people in there. And because there's so many things wrong with our government, and so many things that they're pulling over our eyes at the moment, be it the president or any of the representatives from the House or the Supreme Court or the whatever. And I don't see why we put up with it. Why are we putting up with it? We are so complacent in what we're doing or not doing. Nobody pays any attention. Nobody reads the bill.
What can you actually do? I mean, when you think about it, when we do get a candidate that really wants to go in there with all good intentions, I'll use Herman Cain as an example. He came out of nowhere, scared the people in power with power and money, and that's why they threw all this stuff at him. And, I mean, just like with Ross Perot, you know, they threatened his family. You know, when they're not going to want to give up their power and money that they have.
Well, of course,
absolutely. But you already stated it. The American people have become complacent. They have become apathetic, and through the years, it's almost like a programming. Hey, let's watch let's watch football. Well, let's watch the marathon of Clint Eastwood that's on AMC this weekend. Let's do this. Let's do that. And plus, they've gained the thought that what's my vote going to count anyway? You know, I don't need to vote. They're going to do whatever the hell they want anyway. You know, that's what the mindset is of America. We become complacent and apathetic, and actually to our own detriment.
Well, look at in our bubble wrap society. Look at how many people called and complained that their program was being disrupted when 9/11 occurred.
Yeah. Well, I believe that we're going to sit back on our dead butts and let things go by until it gets so bad that we're going to do something about it. But we've got a long ways to go before it gets that bad. And I don't know if leaving Obama in there will make it happen faster or not, but I just don't want to let – I would like the financially things to fix it. But, you know, our system is going to fall apart real quickly if the finances aren't there. We're already going to see – we're going to see ourselves doing the same as Greece. We're going to have people out demonstrating in the streets. They're going to have all kinds of things happening because our financial situation is deteriorating very fast.
Well, let me ask you both this, since you're both in the military. using the example from China, if there is riots in the street, as a military person or former military people, would you fire on your own people?
No.
Absolutely not. But the thing is, why should I have to?
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though. The military across the board are being trained to do just that. They're training with foreign military right in our United States for protests and what have you. They have been for the last 2.5 years or so. It's been happening. You can just look it up on anywhere as far as the reports. The last one that I seen was there right there in Chicago where, what country was it? Poland was over here training with our troops on like disaster drills and all this kind of stuff right here. They're gearing up for something. And the military has to understand, and I've had the president of Oath Keepers on my program a couple times, and Stuart Rhodes, and he's former military, and he's trying to get the word out to all military, stand down. I mean, look what happened in Katrina. I was thinking they might have to do the same thing this time. They went into a lady's house. I mean, this is just one instance, but I could give you several. A 70-year-old lady that had a pistol, all right? And you had three military trash, actually punch her and take away her gun just because she had a pistol. Another guy had a sign out in front of on his porch. I have a dog and a shotgun, warning people in order to defend himself. And the military laughed at it and then went in and took his gun, all right? They are coming after our guns. They're coming after our liberties. And we got to wake up as an American. We got to wake up as we the people.
Well, like at that treaty that fortunately, because the word got out, it didn't go through, would have passed, that was going to directly affect our Second Amendment rights.
The UN Arms Treaty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the UN Arms Treaty. But now they got some other treaty that's going on, and it has the same kind of stuff in it where it's going to be taking away our Second Amendment rights. This is just a rumor. I haven't validated that, but it is rumor that they got another treaty coming up, which has about the same stuff in it where it's going to be taking away our Second Amendment rights. There, if you go into the Act of 1871 that I talked about earlier, it can show you, as far as giving away our sovereignty to basically the UN. I mean, the UN wasn't established then, but it changed. You know how it says unalienable rights, all right? Well, it changed that into inalienable rights. There's a big difference, and they've been going after our rights ever since, slowly and assuredly, but with this last president, Obama, I mean, it went, he took it to a brand new level, and they keep on touting it, they keep on trying it. I mean, look at the Fast and Furious, that was absolutely in documents for our Second Amendment rights, to take away our Second Amendment rights. And then you have the Colorado shooting and the Sikh shooting, and all. Now you can't find a day without something about shootings occurred somewhere that are trying to manipulate the minds of Americans to say, well, it's okay, take away their guns. You know, we only have a pistol here, so, yeah, take away those militant people. You know, take away their rights. You know, they're trying to appease us so that we say, okay, go ahead, pass that. And just like Stuart Rhodes has said with the Oath Keepers and the military, he's trying to get the word out to all military and all police as well. Whatever law there is out there that is unconstitutional, you do not have to abide by it. Stand down. If you're told to go against your American citizen, huh?
Well, I was going to say one thing definitely for sure, that the Constitution has been challenged more during this administration, in my opinion, than it ever has before. And the question it comes down to, literally, is when the government decides not to follow the Constitution, how can you enforce it?
Well,
I mean,
we've
you can
got
go to court all you want.
We have a president who doesn't bother with the Constitution. Why should anyone else?
But he, wait, wasn't he supposed to have a degree in it? Didn't he was supposed to teach constitutional law?
Yeah.
And that's what it was founded, but we don't have any idea about that because we can't see his records. We can't see the transcripts.
Well, also, we do have it because obviously he knows about it, so we can ignore it.
Yeah. And definitely when the Occupy movement came out, that worried them because of how fast it spread not only through the nation but through the world. They know people are getting fed up, and they don't want people to organize, and that's the other reason for keeping them in poverty. You know, if you have to work two jobs just to try and make your, you know, put food on the table or hand out food stamps, which they're encouraging more people to get on food stamps, that's more control too. You want to keep the peasants passive.
Yeah, think about what you just said, though. I mean, and again, step back and look at it with a bigger, broader brush. That I'll say globalists, when we talked about they, the corporate entities, the bankers and everybody, the people, and you look at the Act of 1871, you read it thoroughly, and you understand what is actually happening here. What is a bit, just like George Soros, he stated that he wanted to take down America. That's his next goal. Well, who does he put in office? Who does he help put in office, rather? Obama. What is Obama? He is a Marxist, socialist, communist. His mentor is Frank Marshall Davis, who is an avowed communist. Okay? He has all these people around him that are communists. What happened with the parade or I don't know what you want to call it, the venue that happened after the first Glenn Beck venue in Washington, D.C., what did you see there? You seen socialists of America, communists of America, all these different isms of America, you know, and yet we all just don't pay attention. We don't listen and we don't see that because they don't want us to see that. The bottom line is that the overall concept of what they want is to destroy America from within. And who do they put in presidency to do that? Obama. He's done a real good job. We've had a downgrading of our rating here in the United States. We've lost jobs left and right. They aren't coming back. Even his own job czar sent jobs to China. He sent a whole division of GE to China, and that's supposed to be his job czar? You know, there's a bigger, broader picture here. The better way to take control of a populace is to keep them down. And the next thing is to take their Second Amendment rights so they can't even defend themselves. But if you have a populace that isn't making what they used to make, and they're having to make or do two jobs, maybe even three jobs, just to get by, they aren't going to be paying attention to what is actually happening behind the scenes because they're too busy living. They're trying to make a living, you know. It's all in the bigger, broader picture, and there's sociology tests with America, you know, the way they're going about it, and they are succeeding. And we need a way to turn that around. And I believe what you say about Romney having the experience with business and all right, he does have experience with business, and he has contacts that possibly would be able to make and help bring jobs back here. But do you think that the jobs that we might even get back here from Romney are going to pay enough to be a living wage?
I think that's
all under their plan.
I believe we have to reevaluate what a living wage is. Because
do they really want to bring jobs back? And that's just one of those sales tactics to get him in office for whatever reason.
True.
I believe we have to sit back and realize what a living wage is. We have to realize that we can't have the price of everything going up, the price of houses going up, the price of everything is going up, including wages, and it's going to keep going up. We've got to stop doing that We've got to realize that we've got to equalize this out because we're no longer competitive with the rest of the world. So there's got to be some differences made in how much a living wage is. And so we're going to bring back wages, yes. We've got to keep people employed. We've got to get more people employed. But you're right. You're not going to have them employed quite at the same level that they were before. So,
well, see, here's the mistake, is that we're assuming that they want to have the recovery. That they, I mean, if we really wanted to get the jobs, to get living wages, to do everything, we could, as a country, we could do it. But that's not their focus.
It's
not their focus. What their focus is to keep everybody, the whole populace, under their thumb. And how else better to do it than to keep them underneath the government thumb or keep their wages to a low enough amount where they can't even make a good living? You know, these all work together. They all work together, and they know that. That's why they're doing it. We could, I mean, if they really cared about getting jobs back here in America, the average for a corporate, as far as taxes, is 35%. You drop that to 12.5%, maybe even 15%, corporations will come here. The main goal of a corporation or any business is to maximize their profits. You know, they believe, any corporate believes in slave labor, believe it or not, simply because it'll maximize their profits. But if you drop down the tax to maybe 12% or 15%, you'll see corporations come back here. You know, you'll see businesses start to show up and jobs be created just simply because of that. But here we just keep on arguing back and forth, right versus left, left versus right, and nothing is accomplished. All they have to do is drop the tax rate for a corporation. That's all they would have to do. But they aren't doing it, are they?
I think it's a little more complicated than that, and that's why I think we need Romney in there to do it. We need to have a change regardless of what it is. And at this particular point, our choices are Romney, and that's the only choices that we have. And that's in this particular election. Perhaps in the next one it'll be different, but we need to sit down and we need to vote and we need to get Obama out of there, and we have the option of putting Romney in, and that's the only option we have, so we need to get off of our butts and do that. And we're out of time.
Brian, you want to go ahead and plug your show real quick?
Oh, sure. It's Live Truth Radio every Sunday and Wednesday at 4:30 in the afternoon, where I bring you the reality underneath the honesty, where they say that they're telling you the truth, but in reality, it's completely different. I'll bring you the truth, the reality underneath the honesty, each and every show, Sunday, Wednesday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for calling.
Very good. Yeah, thank you
all
for calling.
God bless.
I hope you call us back, too.
God bless.
So, good show. Again, thank you, Brian, for joining us. A very good arguments, conversation. And like I say, check out Brian's program. Check us out again next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time. And again, anything that you want to talk about, send us an email. talk@krbnradio.com. Let us know what you think. We can't do this without you. So until next week, it's Robin saying, have a good one. Be safe today and this holiday.
And have a good day. Bye-bye. Check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.